Welcome to Doers of the Word with David Middleton, pastor of Jesus is Lord Outreach Center in Phoenix, Arizona. This radio program will teach you the practical knowledge of the Word of God and give answers to your questions about the problems in your life so that you can live in victory. Open your heart and mind as Pastor Middleton shares the uncompromised Word with you today.
Praise the Lord. Glad to be with you. This is David Middleton welcoming you to the Doers of the Word radio program. We're teaching you the uncompromised Word of God. We're going to continue to share with you on the subject of the Feast of the Lord. And we're talking specifically about the Feast of Tabernacles, which occurs in the Hebrew 7th month, beginning at the 15th day through the 21st day. And we've seen the fact that this Feast of Tabernacles is after the harvest that would come in the fall. It's also called the Feast of Booths, which is the Hebrew word Sukkot, which points to Israel's first encampment after their exodus out of Egypt, where they camped at the edge of the wilderness. It also speaks of the temporary dwelling place that they were in as they were en route to the Promised Land. Also, it speaks of the temporary dwelling place that you and I are in as you and I are on the way to possess a new tabernacle, which is a glorified body that we're going to get. This is also called the Feast of Ingathering, pointing to the harvest, the fruit harvest, which was the final ingathering at the end of the year. This is a type in pointing towards the final harvest of souls that are going to be harvested from the earth at the time of Jesus Christ when he comes back to receive the church and to catch them up and meet him in the air. It also was a day, a solemn feast, and a time of great rejoicing. With the beginning fulfillment was the birth of Jesus, as the Word was made flesh and dwelt, or tabernacled among us. Remember that he was born in the time of tabernacles. That's the time of the tax. That's when the shepherds were out in the field with their sheep. That's why there was no room in the inn, because everybody was there for tabernacles. In fact, he dwelt in a temporary room, because there was no room in the inn, which is what a Sukkot is, a temporary dwelling place. We talked about the fact that what precedes the harvest are the rains, and the rains coming were blessings from God, and they were a type of the revelation of the Word of God and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit and the work of the Holy Spirit in the body of Christ to bring it forth to maturity so it's ready for the harvest. You don't harvest the crop until it's come to be mature. Well, the harvest is not going to come for the church until the church, at least those who have chosen to obey him, the remnant that are going to choose his way, have come to the place of maturity. We saw the fact that the Word is likened to the rain, while the Holy Spirit also likened to the rain, as the Holy Spirit and the Word of God are at work in us to bring us to the place of restoration, to bring us to the place of maturity. And the rain speaks of revival and restoration coming to the body of Christ. The Greek word for tabernacle, skene, which means tabernacle. In 2 Corinthians 5, where the physical body is an earthly house, a tabernacle, and we're waiting for our house from heaven, we're going to get clothed with, which is a glorified body. Also speaks here the interim fulfillment, which will be Jesus coming back and establishing the millennial reign of Jesus Christ when he comes to tabernacle on earth. And then the final fulfillment in Revelation 21 is when God the Father is going to come and tabernacle with us when we see the new heavens and the new earth and the city of Jerusalem, the new Jerusalem coming down. That's when the final fulfillment will be, and then we will dwell with him. About the sacrifices. The sacrifices were in multiples of 7 and 8 and 10, and there were many of them. And 7 points to perfection, which is what the church is going to come to the place of before Jesus comes back. 8 speaks of resurrection and new beginnings. We're going to get a brand new body, remember, a glorified body, and it'll be like a new beginning, of course, because as the Jesus comes and establishes the millennial reign of Jesus Christ, we are going to be rewarded for our works and put in the position of authority if we have met the conditions to be put in that position of authority. Also, the multiple of 10 shows the number of law and order of testing, showing the fact that we passed the test and we've come in line with God's laws, and our life is brought in order with his ways, obeying his commandments. Otherwise, the maturity and the perfection of the church to come forth before Jesus comes back. Now, this feast was also called the Feast of the Open Book. Here we see that it was the time of the 7th month when Moses was about 120 years old, ready to die. The Lord commanded him to renew the covenant with a new generation by writing a second law in the book. They had to take the book, place it in the side of the Ark of the Covenant, and at the end of every year, the year of release, and every 7 years, in the Feast of Tabernacles, that's when they would take the book out, open it, read it, and explain it to the people. Well, this is all talking about how the church is going to experience this in the revelation of the Word of God that is coming forth. The light is coming, illumination, understanding, and the full truth is going to break upon the church and come into manifestation. So the church comes into the unity of the faith. Now, we also see about the Feast of Tabernacles is talking about when Solomon's temple was dedicated. We see the fact that Solomon's temple, as it talks about in 1 Kings chapter 8, where it was in the seventh month, as it says in verse 2, that the priest took up the ark of the Lord and the tabernacle and the holy vessels that were in the tabernacle, and they brought them into this temple and they took out the staves. This shows the fact that it was not going to be moving from that point on. This is a type of the fact that God's presence is coming into and manifesting a mature church through the working of the Word of God and the Holy Spirit in what Solomon's temple is a type of, which is a type of the end time church, and that these are holy vessels. That means the church is going to come to the place of holiness in the Lord. And they drew out the staves, meaning God's presence is going to abide there. It's not going to be moving. He's coming to abide and live within us. Now, it took some time for this to happen, some time for the foundation of the house of the Lord to be laid. And it took 7 years in building it. That speaks of the fact that it takes time to see this building of God done. It's not going to be able to be done at the last minute. That's why that's what you're to be at work in doing now, building your spiritual house so that you are going to be a holy vessel for the coming of the Lord. Now, at the dedication of Solomon's temple, we see also in 2 Chronicles 5, where it talks about this. In the verse 3, it talks about how this feast was in the seventh month, where they had the dedication of the temple. Now, the dedication shows the fact that the maturity of the church has come to pass. And when is it? It's at the seventh month, which is at the time of the coming of Jesus, which is prophetic of the fact that before Jesus comes back again, the church will come to the place of maturity. It may not look like it's anywhere close to maturity today, which it isn't, but it's going to come to that place. There's much to be done before Jesus is going to come back. Jesus is going to come back for a church that is, he's going to present a glorified church, holy, without spot, without any wrinkle, that's going to be unrebukable and unreprovable and has come to maturity. The church is anything but that. You see, before Jesus comes for the church, he's coming in the church. To know this is because the fact that the dedication of Solomon's temple is for a mature church. It's not at that point yet. It speaks here about the priests that came out of the holy place and that all the priests that were present were sanctified. That means all the ones who are going to walk in line with God's ways, that's the remnant who are going to respond. These are the ones that are going to be sanctified. They're going to be holy before the Lord. And it says in verse 12 that they were arrayed in white linen, which speaks of righteousness. They're walking in righteousness. And then it speaks how they were all as one to make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord. Otherwise, God is going to bring the church into unity. Remember what he talks about coming to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God unto the full stature of the man in Christ? That's what's going to happen. Those scriptures are going to come to pass in the body of Christ as it's going to grow up into him. And this is where you and I need to be hearing the word, doing the word, applying it in our life, working out our salvation with fear and trembling, casting all the devils out, overcoming sin, crucifying the flesh, separate from the world, allowing the word of God to grow and get strong in you as you hear and do it, seeing the power of God manifest not only in you, but also manifest out of you, and going forth and doing the work. God's given us authority, and we are to do the work that he has called us to do. That when they were one and one sound to be heard, remember there were 120 priests. Now 120 is the number of the change from one age to another age. What happened in Acts chapter 2? What was happening then? That's when the church age was going to come into manifestation on the day of Pentecost. Well, how many were in that upper room? 120. What is that significant of? The fact that there was a change coming. And that was from the Old Testament era to the New Testament era, which the birthday of the church occurred on the day of Pentecost. Now we see 120 priests were sounding with trumpets in 2 Chronicles 5. And here in verse 12, it talks about this. This means, being the seventh month, this tells you that there is a change coming at this point in time, which is a change from it's the end of the church age to the beginning of the millennial reign of Jesus Christ. A new age is coming into manifestation. And notice it says they were all one. They all had one sound. And it speaks here about how the house, which is the spiritual house of God that's come to maturity, holy before Him, walking in righteousness, one accord with the Lord, one accord with each other. It says that they're going to be filled with a cloud, even the house of the Lord. The glory of the Lord fills the house of God. The glory of God is going to be poured out on the church before Jesus comes back. In John 17:21, remember what Jesus prayed? He prayed that they would all be one, that they all may be one. Now you think Jesus' prayer is not going to be answered? Oh no, it's going to get a result, because that's where we're going to come to. That all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, and that the world may believe that thou hast sent me, and the glory which thou gavest me I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. That indicates that as the church comes to the place of being one, then the glory is going to be given to the church. The glory of God is going to be poured out on the church after it comes to the place of maturity and one in the Lord, one with the Father, one with Jesus, one with one another. And he talks about, it goes on in verse 23. He says, I in them and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one. Remember, the church is to go on into perfection, as it says in Hebrews chapter 6. So we know this is going to happen. The church is going to go on to perfection. They're going to be made perfect in one, that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved me. This has not happened yet. That's why we understand what's going to happen before glory is poured out and before Jesus comes back. He goes on and says, Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me. And he talks about how he's going to be in them and I in them. We're going to come to the place of being one with him. Also, Isaiah 60 verse 1 says, Arise, shine, for the light is come. The glory of the Lord has risen upon thee. And so this is happening through the light coming to us, the Word of God. The glory of the Lord is risen. Now, it's already working in our life, but it's going to come and we're going to be filled with the glory of God. It's going to fill the house. We're not talking about just a little bit here and there. We're talking about the manifest presence of God filling the church, all those that are going to be a part of the remnant. It goes on in verse 2 and says, For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. That shows you something. It's going to be glorious for the church, but it's going to have gross darkness for the world. Otherwise, the church is going to get lighter and lighter, and the world's going to get darker and darker. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. And then Gentiles shall come to the light, and the kings to the brightness of thy rising. You see, there's going to be a harvest of souls that's going to come. And this is because of the fact that the light is going to come forth, the glory is going to be seen upon us. And it shows how the Gentiles, that's the nations, are going to come to the light, and the kings to the brightness of thy rising. Well, we're out of time for today. We're going to continue on this on the next broadcast. God bless you. In closing, I want to invite you to our church in Phoenix. If you're looking for a church that teaches the uncompromised word and will minister healing and deliverance to you continually until you are set free, come to our services on Sunday at 10 a.m. and 6:30 p.m. and Wednesday at 7. The church is located at 2955 West Fairmount Avenue, just west of I-17 and Indian School. For information, call 602-279-5212. That's 602-279-5212.
We trust you've enjoyed the broadcast today. To purchase books, audios, or videos, please call 1-877-77-DOERS. That's 1-877-773-6377. You can visit our website at www.doersoftheword.org. If this broadcast blesses you, we invite you to become a financial partner so we can take this ministry across the nation. Until we greet you on the next broadcast, may God bless you as you are a consistent doer of the Word of God.